Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, August 8th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the Feast of St. Dominic, the beloved priest and founder of the Order of Preachers known as the Dominican Order. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show as well as on Facebook, and you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, in case you missed it, as Glenn reported a moment ago, late Friday night, the Indiana legislature became the first in the nation to pass an abortion ban after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. The measure went to the Republican Governor Eric Holcomb, who signed the bill into law almost immediately on Friday night. Now, earlier in the day, the Indiana State House approved the bill that would ban most abortions. 62-38 was the vote after confirming the law would allow exceptions for rape, incest, and to protect the life of the mother. And then the state Senate voted to confirm the changes to the initial bill 2819. Republican Representative Wendy McNamara of Evansville sponsored the bill.
This bill provides protections for the unborn. Most importantly, it exemplifies the value of human life.
People are demanding that their voices be heard by this legislature, to demand equal rights under the law, to have the same control over their body that is guaranteed to any man in Indiana.
And that was an emotional Democratic Representative Maureen Bauer. The law will go into effect on September 15th unless abortion activists take it to court and get an injunction beforehand. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what has been the reaction to this Indiana abortion ban?
Well, we've had some companies starting to leave the state, trying to do business there and wanting to be seen as on the side of abortion. And, you know, sometimes it's not a matter of a corporation really caring so much, but it's the image they want to project. There's a lot of pushback against some of the new abortion restrictions among certain demographics that appeal to certain businesses. And so things like that in the works as well. But this one of the first pieces of new legislation, aside from some of the trigger laws that would automatically throw an abortion ban into effect on many states since Roe v. Wade was overturned. And it's maybe good to see that from a pro-life point of view. It was certainly good from a pro-life point of view, especially in light of recently in Kansas, where some new action actually continued to make abortion legal in Kansas.
And this is exactly what the Supreme Court wanted, to send it back to the individual states, and every state has its say. The other big story yesterday, Glenn, of course, was the Senate passing the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. Tell us about this bill. Some say it really doesn't do a whole lot to reduce inflation.
No, this is what the Democrats will hang their hats on as a signature piece of legislation before the summer recess, and then it's really full speed ahead toward the elections in the fall, though. But a major, major spending bill, a lot of money in there for environmental things, trying to be green, tackling climate change, a number of dollars, about $60 billion slated for helping with the new wind turbines as well as solar panels, things like that. Also, an attempt to lower the cost of prescription drugs. And yet you have some on the left who say this won't really help inflation, a name that was tacked on the Inflation Reduction Act, even Bernie Sanders saying that it actually won't help inflation.
Yeah, and there's obviously been tremendous pushback from the Republican side, saying that the Democrats are going to pay the price at the midterms. What do you think, Glenn?
Well, I think it's easier to rile up the populace one way or the other with more hot-button issues like abortion maybe than this, but I think inflation is really heavy on the minds of so many people, and they'll want to see at the cash register whether anything is making a difference.
On a lighter note, whenever I think of August 8th, I can't help but think of 8-8-88, the first night game at Wrigley Field. Can you believe it that on this day back in 1988, the lights went on for the first time at the friendly confines?
Well, it's a little easier maybe to get folks to the ballpark. It certainly is in the evenings. But, you know, think of all the tradition that had to be overcome for that to happen. But it certainly makes it easier to get a bigger audience on TV for all those games as well.
Well, I'm sure it's also like there's just so many games that are now at night. It's just strange to think of games not being able to be at night, isn't it?
It really is. And I mean, you know, it's normal in all of Major League Baseball today. But back in those days, and I remember because I was a young reporter and I remember covering that big game for CBS News. I remember doing my very first ever CBS News report. It was such a big deal nationally. It's hard to believe that they didn't have lights. Apparently, the owner of the Cubs sold the materials for the lights during World War II for the war effort. So the lights never got put up all those years from 1945 all the way until 1988. But yeah, that was quite a spectacle, something I will never forget. In fact, I still have a commemorative baseball cap from that first night game at Wrigley Field back in 88.
And what kind of condition has that had in? Do you think it's worth anything now?
You know what? Believe it or not, I hardly ever wear it. So it's like a little museum piece.
It's nice.
It's in pristine.
And most importantly, John, did they win that game?
You know what? Actually, the very first game got rained out, believe it or not. The heavens opened up and the game did not get finished. They had to come back and play the very next night. I don't even remember who won the actual first game. But what I do remember was that the first one was rained out. So a little piece of history. And this weekend, I actually had a chance to go see a minor league baseball game with my son, Joseph Dominic. It was a great father and son event to go see the Chicago Dogs. Have you guys heard of the Chicago Dogs?
I have heard of the Chicago Dogs. In fact, they're not too far from our studio here in the Chicagoland area. And I've driven by many a times the studio. The stadium, they just built it maybe within the last 5 years. It looks beautiful.
It is absolutely magnificent for a minor league ballpark. A beautiful little ballpark. Had a great time. It only holds less than 7,000 fans, but we had a great time. It's very family friendly. Lots of kids. And, you know, you can sit really close to the field. So all the seats are good. We had a lot of fun. We had a really good time. And Glenn, there's something about minor league baseball that it's a little different flavor, a little different tone than going to the big leagues.
Oh, it certainly is. I was just thinking about the story with the lights as well. And the town ball team, the men's amateur team that represents the town I live in, wrapped up their season with a loss in the regional playoffs yesterday. The Clearwater River Cats had a great year. But at the tournament on Saturday, you talk about lights, and they played in the late afternoon. But the evening game was maybe going to have to be canceled because they were looking frantically for an engineer to fix two of the light standards that weren't working right. They weren't going to be able to have the evening game, but I think that went off after all. Also at the concession stand, again, a great game, but kind of fun. The hamburger I purchased was delayed because whoever had the keys to where the buns were locked up had momentarily left, and so it took a little while to get that. But the joys of behind-the-scenes action at amateur baseball can't be beat.
Yeah, well, I tell you, back to the Dogs, you know, what's really amazing is the quality of the baseball that is played at the minor league level. I mean, you got to remember, these are guys that were probably stars when they were kids, you know, when they were in high school, even in college, and they got signed to play professional contracts. They're just not in the major leagues. Some of these guys may never get to the major leagues, but it was amazing. There was about three guys that had major league experience. There were about four or five guys with AAA experience and then AA and single A. So it was pretty good baseball. And we saw some pretty spectacular major league plays in that minor league game. So my hat's off to the Chicago Dogs, who, by the way, they took it on the chin and did not win that game against the Sioux City Explorers. But nevertheless, it was a great time for all.
Now, was there a special theme when you went to this game? Because I've noticed in the local team near where I live, the Joliet Slammers, there's always like a fun theme for the day, whether it's superhero night or princess night, or, you know, they pick all these like fun, silly things that are going to be for that night. So it's interesting to see what people are going to be dressed up as. Are they going to be dressed up? Did the little kids, you know, break out their Tiana and Little Mermaid costumes? Was there any theme tonight?
Honestly, I don't remember what the theme was, but I can tell you that there were some fun mascots running around. One dressed up as a giant ketchup bottle, another one a mustard bottle, and they were dancing all over the dugouts, and there's this one little girl chasing them all over the ballpark. It was hysterical. So it was a lot of fun. And then the star of the game turned out to be he could have been more than 4 or 5 years old, little boy who ran the bases. While the whole place was on their feet, just cheering him on. And so, he ran the bases in between one of the innings. And at the end of the game, he was voted as the star of the game. And they had his little picture up on the big screen. And it was a lot of fun. So, yeah, there's something to be said for that family-friendly atmosphere that we all long for, that you can get going to a minor league game. And by the way, the tickets were like $15. And we ended up getting upgraded from seats down the line in the right field corner. We ended up getting upgraded to right behind home plate. So it was kind of a gift from above.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, there's never a bad seat in a game like that, for sure. And especially when you get to bring the family, when the prices are at a good place, you can bring everybody. And you know what? Everyone probably got to get a dog that day, because with that mustard and ketchup running around, adding condiments to your hot dogs, I'm sure they had those at a good deal. I know my husband has gone in the past to our local stadium, and they had, you know, taco day, where it's sale on the tacos. So they're always trying to have something to bring the people in, whether it's a promotional prize or a fun weekend theme.
Yes, seeing all those dancing ketchup and mustard bottles, I'm sure whets everybody's appetite for some hot dogs. After all, the team is called the Chicago Dogs, and their logo has a hot dog on it. So, definitely hot dogs is the name of the game at the Dogs.
You know, I'm thinking too, just the style of play or the experience that, you know, some of the guys trickle through, some of these independent minor league teams, not only on the way up or on the way down, but making comebacks. The St. Paul Saints, who actually got started when the Sioux City Explorers got started back in 1993 and were an independent team till a couple of years ago. They're now the Twins AAA affiliate in Minnesota. But Daryl Strawberry, in between times, very successful as a New York Met, but on his way to making a comeback and finishing the year as a World Series champ with the Yankees maybe some 20 years ago, had a stop in St. Paul as well. So it's some of those interesting backstories on some of the players who come through those situations.
There are so many great backstories of guys that have made comebacks and worked their way through the minor leagues. I remember Carlos Zambrano, the former Cub ace, actually played for the Dogs a few years back. In fact, I think that was the first game that Joseph and I ever saw the Dogs, the Chicago Dogs, actually play, was when Carlos Zambrano was trying to make a comeback. So, every one of these guys on these teams, these minor league teams, every one of them had dreams of making it to the show, to the major leagues one day. And it's not easy, obviously. It's only a select few are the elite players in the world that ever, see a big league game. So it's fun to see these guys still playing at a very high level. I mean, this was some really good baseball, considering that it's minor league baseball and not major league baseball, Glenn.
Well, so many still holding out for a chance. And with the minor leagues really kind of condensing over the last few years, with the major leagues getting a little more involved, some cities, some small cities actually losing their teams or switching affiliations. And, it's limited. Mainly major league baseball teams will have one AAA, one AA, and maybe a couple A-level teams, and that's about it. So it leaves a little more room if it's economically feasible for some of these towns to have those independent minor league teams, and they all seem to have a similar package of silliness that goes with it that can be a lot of fun, especially for getting little kids involved.
Yeah, now, you put it in perspective. You have Juan Soto, who was recently traded to the San Diego Padres. He turned turned down a $440 million contract from Washington. From the Washington Nationals. I mean, $440 million he turned it down. These guys are playing for an average of about $48,000 a year. And my son pointed out, Dad, look at how these guys run. They hustle. They sprint all the way to first base when you see some of the major leaguers, you know, jogging on an easy ground ball.
Yeah, I mean, at any level, that's important to see. You know, wonder the way economics are, it's maybe hard to holler at you guys for some of the basics if you're a coach in the major leagues. But yeah, when you're trying to, you know, live or die, and still keep that dream alive, you are going to hustle to try and stand out.
Now, John, quick question. It's sort of related to what you were talking about there. It was swelteringly hot. So which day did you go? Because I know one of those days, it was just to stand outside because of the humidity, you were sweating bullets. So which of these days did you go to the hot dogs?
We went Saturday night.
That was the hot night.
Yeah, it was hot. But you know what? At the ballpark, with the wind blowing, it wasn't bad at all. And by the time nighttime fell, it really wasn't bad. And to cap it off, they put on a fireworks show that was out of this world. I mean, it was a major league quality fireworks show after the game. And everybody, you know, hung out and watched the fireworks. And, you know, it was only par for the course because for those of us in the northern suburbs, we didn't have a fireworks show this year for the 4th of July because of the Highland Park shooting, unfortunately. The Glenview fireworks was canceled along with the 4th of July parade. So it was kind of neat to be able to experience a really wonderful fireworks show afterwards. So,
and what kind of songs were they playing? The patriotic songs, or were they just playing just fun songs to go with the fireworks?
Just fun songs, to get everybody going on a summer night. So, yeah, it's hard to believe. Here we are in the month of August. The summer has flown by. In fact, the kids are getting ready to come back to school. In fact, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the next hour of things that parents should do to get ready to go back to school. So, you know, never a dull moment here at Relevant Radio.
Yeah, no, and my whole weekend I didn't get to see any of the dogs, but I was racing around from store to store getting those school supplies. So I'm looking forward to finding out what else I probably forgot on that get back to school list. So that'll be good coming up.
Yeah, that's going to be on my wife's docket because she's been out of town for a couple of weeks taking care of her mom in Omaha, Nebraska. But when she gets back, there's a lot of things that still need to be bought for Joseph's first day of school. I did take care of all the medical exams and the eye exams and all that stuff. So that is all done.
Those are definitely an eyesore. So I'm glad that you were able to help your wife out there.
For sure. As always, good chatting with the two of you. You know, today is a big day. It is the feast of Saint Dominic, and so we were hoping to hook up with Father Patrick Briscoe, who is a Dominican priest. And Father Briscoe has been unable to join us this morning. Something obviously came up, and so we've had a little bit of fun here chatting a little baseball. But I want to start the day as we always do with prayer, always thanking our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit, as is the tradition here on Morning Air. Whenever we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 6:27. Our Lord Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him has God the Father set his seal." Later in the same sixth chapter of St. John, our Lord Jesus Christ refers to the Holy Eucharist when he says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." What are some examples of food that disappears? I believe Jesus was referring to all of the material things, all the stuff that we spend our lives chasing after, the houses, the cars, clothes, all the intangibles like power and prestige. The only thing that lasts at the end of the day, at the end of our life, is our relationship with God, our family, and our friends. So we put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ every day, and especially Christ in the Holy Eucharist. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Catholic author and speaker Emily Geminit is going to join us to talk about how women can reduce their cortisol levels and turn down the dial on stress. So all you women and moms, stay tuned as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning. A number if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now I want to call all stressed and worried women that may be listening and with us this morning. That includes you moms. Do you know how you can reduce your cortisol levels and turn down the dial on stress? According to a recent study published in the Journal of Women and Aging, communicating with female friends decreases cortisol levels. That's the stress hormone for women across the lifespan. Joining us live this morning is Morning Air regular contributor Emily Geminit to talk about how women can reduce their stress levels. Emily is a Catholic author, speaker, radio personality, wife, podcaster, and the mother of seven children. She's also the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. She's the author of The Friendship Project. Her most recent award-winning book is titled Secrets of the Sacred Heart, 12 Ways to Claim Jesus' Promises in Your Life, and she can be found at emilygeminit.com. Good morning, Emily. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always good to be with you here first thing in the morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I just love my time here on Relevant Radio. And for many parents, they're probably almost giggling like I was when I saw this article, because August is really stressful. Many of us are getting kids back to school, as it's an expensive time. There's a lot going on. You usually have your big to-do list. And, you know, for many of us, we're coming off holidays. So it's like, let's get back to reality. But this study that we're talking about, found in the Journal of Women and Aging, was really insightful for all women, but there's a deeper level. And it was talking about the importance of women communicating with other women. And essentially, when we problem solve with friends, we reduce stress. So the good news is friends are important, right?
Oh, well, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, obviously, there's some wisdom and some scientific insights from this study that really, you know, are in play. I'm just curious, Emily. I mean, I know you mentioned here this month of August, which obviously can be stressful for, it can be stressful for a lot of moms, a lot of women, and even some men. But can you tell us, are you finding that women are more stressed today in this day and age more than ever, the more worried than before?
I think so. And I think part of this conversation of stress is really important, that we evaluate our stress. It's not just something of a to-do list, but it actually has consequences, right? It has physical health consequences upon us. And as Christians, a lot of times the things that we are stressed about are vain. They're unimportant. We can't solve those problems. You know, the problems that, you know, what we have to really look at is what is the most important thing God's calling me to do today I find in my own life, you know, as I'm getting kids ready to go back to school, as I am, you know, just stressed about multi-level and juggling all this that I have going on, that inner peace is what Jesus gives me. And I'm the one who chooses to hand it away when I let the pressures of the world seep in and get me overwhelmed. So I think this study is not a faith study, but it sure highlights the importance for me of spiritual friendship, of really connecting with others, the power of prayer. And that, you know, when we come together, we really do receive and can pass on that gift of inner peace.
Do you think that when we have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, when we have friendship with God, that gives us the grace to then be better friends? You have more to give, to be friends with other people, women with other women.
You know, I definitely believe that. One reason why Michelle Fanley and I wrote the book, The Friendship Project, and it's called, the subtitle is called The Catholic Women's Guide to Making and Keeping Fabulous Faith-Filled Friendships, because we could see that many women are struggling with friendship. It's not just maintaining friendships, but the world is going at such a fast pace. Like, how do you sit down and actually, like the study talks about, problem solving or really dig in deep and pour, you know, make friendships? And a lot of our obstacles begin with social media and our phones. Our phones, as they open us to the world, they also block us sometimes from having those little conversations here and there that people used to have frequently.
How can friends help solving a problem that you might be stressed about, or maybe just being a good listener, perhaps, to help calm us down when something is really bothering us?
Well, one thing that I have found with writing this book is oftentimes women, when they're needing to process, they need to process out loud. And who you process your problem with or your problem solving with is really important. I want all our listeners to consider this point, is that, you know, the person giving you advice is directing you, is contributing to where you're heading in life, especially if it's a very important life decision. So having, I want to say, Christ-centered friendships change everything, because we have points of vulnerability, and these are the friendships that we want to point us back to, you know, growing closer to Jesus. So we have our relationship with Jesus, and then we have these friends that can say, you know, when's the last time you went to confession? You seem really burdened by this situation. Or have you shared that with your husband? Have you, you know, really, have you considered a retrovibe? You considered a retreat to go closer to the Lord? That advice can be monumental in changing the course of your life.
Now, your thoughts on the study is in terms of reducing the so-called cortisol levels. What can we take away from this study that might be relevant to women and moms who are listening this morning?
Well, it was a fun study. You know, we're talking about this study found in the Journal of Women and Aging, and it looked at younger women and older women and how they problem solve. So they actually had to do a task describing these different shapes and, you know, kind of building a relationship. And a lot of times in life, that's how we, you know, begin communicating. It might be, you know, sitting across the table and trying to process something at work, or even, you know, it's related to a secular situation. But what the study was interesting, because it said men often have the fight and flight, and it says, do women respond the same way? But for us women, when we develop friendship, so they problem solved with friends and without friends, and when we problem solve and when we communicate, our stress levels actually go down when we spend time with friends. So, but, you know, as we mentioned earlier, many of us are very, very busy. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to apply this study and say, this is every reason why I need to develop and cultivate spiritual friendships, cut out time in my life. And the greatest testimony I've seen in the work I've done in spiritual friendship is people always come back to me, you know, frequently and say, thank you, this changed my life. And it brought a lot more peace, it brought a lot more joy. I now have friends I've always wanted, but a lot of times they were the block in cultivating the friendship.
Emily, can you give us some practical tips on women developing strong friendships despite the busyness of life and children? After all, you did spend time writing your book, The Friendship Project, and so this is something that is definitely you've prayed about and you've thought about.
Well, thank you for giving this opportunity. One of the things I enjoyed with writing this book, The Friendship Project, is I wrote it with a friend, and we both kind of tackled it back and forth, and we're very different people. We're both very involved in Catholic leadership and in Catholic ministry work, but yet the importance of cultivating friendship, carving out that time. And so the first point that I think I would want you to say to learn is that the reason why it's called a project is it's always in motion. We need to continue to invest in relationships. We can't say, well, I once had a good friend. It's something in which it's an ongoing search. It's an ongoing task. But what I found in my work is that many people were blocked in friendship based on past hurts from friends. Even high school friends were preventing them as adults from really going deeper, these pains and wounds. So the first thing I would love everyone to do is evaluate, do I have those blocks and do I need to bring them to prayer and ask Jesus to heal my heart so I can experience a better Christ form friendship that I didn't have before? And the second point,
Emily, before we move to the second point, I think that first point is super interesting. You say it's always in motion. It doesn't just only apply to women. Obviously, that applies to men as well. I mean, you're either going forward or you're going backward. You're either nurturing the relationship and developing it, building it, or you're kind of just forgetting about somebody.
You're right. It definitely applies to men. And many men have read this book and shared that they enjoyed it. And they were a little disappointed that it was addressed to women because they said, you know, for men, it's really hard for us to make friends. But I do think that those hurts from the past, a lot of times in the book, I include a prayer for healing, is that, you know, we need to be healed from those wounds. I know I'm wounded from middle school. So I really had to look at, well, why did that hurt? And we were all children, and I needed to let it go so that I could cultivate better friendships.
I want to bring in our resident mom and studio producer, Sarah. Sarah, this is a super interesting a topic that we're talking about here this morning. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, this is really interesting. As you're talking about, like, things from the past, you know, things that you didn't even realize you were holding on to as you were talking about that. I was thinking, yeah, there were some things that, like, did I let go of that? I don't know why I would still be holding on to it, because you kind of bury it so deeply. Little things that, like, yeah, you were kids and you just were mean for no reason. And I'm sure I was very mean to some kids and didn't realize it or didn't think too much about it, because when you're a kid, you're not overly thinking every decision that you're making. But I like the point about, you know, just getting a girl, a friend that you can hang out with and talk about these things, spiritual things. You know, sometimes it just starts with the superficial, like, these are the things that are annoying me in my life, right? We start those things, we can readily spit those things out, you know, the things that are annoying us about our kids or our husband or our job or things around the house that aren't getting done that we wish could get done. And we can bond so easily on those things because it's common. No matter what you're going through as a mom, there's other moms out there who are dealing with something similar. But then to move past that superficial stuff, to get into the deeper relationship stuff, that spiritual stuff. I mean, that's priceless stuff that I think we do. We try to push that off, like, well, I don't want to open up that much, or I don't really need any help in that area. But I know that when I've been open and I've allowed people who maybe were a little bit more forceful with me to try to get into that place with me, it's really made me a better person, more spiritual, more able to see, okay, these are the holes that I have going on. And it's okay to have these holes, but, like, let's let God in there so that we can heal those things and move forward. And this is something, like, I don't think that we think about enough as moms. So I'm glad that we're talking about it today, Emily.
Oh, I'm super glad to. And there are times that I like to say I created my own walls of isolation just because, like you mentioned, I was busy, I was raising kids. I didn't think I had time for friendship. But, you know, that's another block in experiencing the gift of being Catholic, this Catholic community. And one of the things that Michelle and I did is we set it up to be a book study. So I was very honored that wine and a number of parishes and even just small groups have embraced it as a book study. And we interviewed the different friends that taught us virtue, because you can't just, you know, to have a friend, you must be a friend. And one of the challenges that we really tackle in this book are the importance of virtue, of growing in virtue, so that maybe we weren't very loyal to our friends in middle school or high school, but, you know, at this point in our life, let's grow in loyalty. Let's grow in even prudence and faith and charity and gratitude. And you find that when you take on those virtues, you can, you know, be a light, but also find others who can teach you the importance of virtue as well.
Emily, in your book, The Friendship Project, you have a lot of practical suggestions that you discovered. What else? You started to share with us the importance of always remembering that friendship is always in motion. What else can we learn from your experiences of writing the book?
Well, I think this is a really fun practical tip. Is I want everyone to think about Friendship Friday. Friendship Friday means, you know, one day a week, let's think about where do I stand with my friends? You know, can you message them, text them, call them, set up a time to meet with them on the weekend, maybe even that night. But cultivating spiritual friendship, we got to put the time in. That's the key. Not just liking pictures on Facebook does not generate this great friendship we're talking about. Christ-centered friendship is just essential. So Friendship Friday is a fabulous way. And I spent my Saturday with a 90-year-old and a 94-year-old for a beautiful luncheon where we had a Friendship Saturday, you could say, but a spiritual gathering. We prayed, we ate, and these women taught me so much about life and their journey. So sometimes friendship is new, and other times it's connecting with our dear and old friends.
Well, I'd like to invite our listeners, if you'd like to chime in, be part of the conversation about women and reducing stress and how your friendships have impacted your life, with Catholic author Emily Jaminet. We're taking your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Emily. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
Ooh, you make me live.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us here on this Monday morning as we continue our conversation with longtime Morning Air contributor and Catholic author Emily Jaminet. She's also the author of the fabulous book, The Friendship Project, The Catholic Women's Guide to Making and Keeping Fabulous Faith-Filled Friends. Emily, welcome back.
Good morning. It's so great to be here. And as we go through this important of faith-filled friendship, we're also looking at how friendship actually reduces stress in our life. And so the highest form of friendship is, first and foremost, where, you know, we cultivate that relationship with Jesus Christ, who always longs. He is the perfect friend. He's the friend of our hearts. He wants to hear every little prayer that we have. But when we have Catholic faith-filled friendships, and especially as a study that we're talking about, the importance of female friendships, having, you know, two women coming together, sharing, God is really able to bless us. And we learned today through the study that our stress actually goes down.
How does cortisol affect our bodies? How does it affect women specifically?
Well, I think that is important. What was neat about the study is they studied the levels before these women, you know, did the study, and then after. And when they did, two women, two friends came together and did some problem solving, their cortisol went down and they were able to be less stressed. It's a sign of stress on the body. And, you know, for many of us, we're at points in our life where, you know, we need to definitely consider the amount of stress as we look at the economy, we look at inflation, we look at the news. For myself, I'm looking at my to-do list, getting everyone back to school, and yet continue to do those weekly tasks like mowing the lawn, going to the grocery store. And yet a lot of times we can say, I don't have time for friendship, but friendship is a gift from God. And even the saints talked about the importance of friendship. It's not just something that we're talking about this morning.
What are some of the virtues, the cardinal and theological virtues that we can develop and really nurture through our friendships?
Well, I think that virtue and friendship go hand in hand, right? To be a friend or to have a friend, we must first be a friend. And there's many affirmations of how Jesus treated his friends, the disciples, the dear friendships he had cultivated in Bethany with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And we can break that down in looking at the virtues. The virtues are such great roadmaps for each one of us to see, you know, what does a friend actually look like? And in the book, I break down each chapter into different virtues. The importance of faith and friendship, like we're talking about, the importance of having these Catholic friendships. One of my favorite quote, John, is from St. Francis de Sales, who says, "Those who walk on level ground do not need to hold hands, but those who climb steep and slippery roads need to hold on to one another in order to progress more securely." So doesn't that describe us in our journey with spiritual friendship?
Absolutely. And like we said earlier, you know, obviously we're talking about the effects of women and stress and how important friendship is. But this is something that's definitely in play for men as well. I mean, as a man, I know how easy it is to get so wrapped up and so busy that you just don't make time for your buddies, for your friends.
You know, and that's why we're so gifted in the church. We have the Knights of Columbus. We have these different fraternities and these different opportunities, even in our own parish. So as we talked before the break about practical suggestions, you know, one, obviously you can read the Friendship Project and do it as a book study, which is a great way to grow closer to friendships. You know, two, you can just open your parish bulletin, you know, and say, what can I plug back into? Another really practical suggestion, John, is you're gonna be so shocked by this. When you go to church, smile and say hello while you're leaving. And maybe after you leave the church and you're entering in the parking lot, you might just create a great friendship. I have right there in that parking lot as I was open to friendship and connecting with those right in my parish.
What's the old saying? Smile, it increases your face value.
Oh, I don't know that one. I will share that with my children when they wake up. I like that one.
Yeah, you know, I think you're so right. I mean, just a simple smile at somebody as you're walking in or walking through the aisles to your pew or leaving church. You never know how you're going to maybe connect with somebody who may need just a little friendly smile and a hello on any given day.
Well, I received a call this week, John, from a woman who said, I want to join RCIA. I want to join the Catholic Church. She said, but I just don't want to walk into that church alone. And my heart just sunk where I realized, you know what? She's right. And so I said, would you like to go to Mass with me? I'll teach you how to sit, how to stand. And then, you know, when that program begins in October, you know, we can journey to that next stage. But even just inviting people back to the church, maybe those friendships, saying, you know, would you like to go to confession with me? Would you like to go and join our family for Mass on Sunday? It's a great way to cultivate spiritual friendship and really to evangelize as well.
Emily, can you talk about the importance of being a compassionate friend? You know, being able to really feel for the other person and listen to them, especially if they're going through a difficult time.
Well, John, I remember you started this interview talking about the importance of listening. And women do struggle a little bit more than men with listening. But part of being a compassionate friend is learning to turn our ears up and listen, to listen. And while we're listening, we're really inviting the Holy Spirit into our heart to guide our heart, to help our heart to know what to say, right? What are those words of compassion? A lot of times for myself, I have humbly found that I really don't have the answers to many of the problems inflicted, especially in family life, in this culture, but I can always offer a prayer. And that's the essence of even the writing the book, The Friendship Project, is teaching people to incorporate prayer in friendship. I love to say another great tip is a holy five minutes of prayer. If somebody pours their heart out enough to share a detail of their life, which calls for the spirit of compassion, say, can I offer a prayer to give you God's peace, to give you God's healing, to invite the Lord in to have that healing process begin? And it's really, really powerful and really bonding as well.
These are all great suggestions. I especially like your Friendship Friday. I mean, you just take one day and make sure you reach out to your friends on that given day. That's a beautiful thing. And, you know, for us as Catholics, you know, we have access to the friends of God, the saints. I know that in your book, we can learn about how the saints shared the gift of friendship.
You know, I'm really glad that you brought that up, John, because a lot of times we think that saints are formed in isolation, but really saints beget saints, right? As we look at St. Dominic's feast day, we can look at all of his friendships as we look at these different saints. And in the book, I actually, Michelle and I focus on female saint friends because we also want to show that, you know, women, we can elevate each other to the highest level, which is holiness and even God willing, someday we could all be canonized together. So looking at, for example, St. Perpetua and St. Felicity, two early church martyrs who walked the final stage of martyrdom together in the Roman Colosseums. You know, we can look at the sisters of St. Thérèse of Lisieux and servant of God, Leon Martin. You know, we can look at even in the Old Testament, Ruth and Naomi. So some examples of friendships that inspired each other to grow closer to God.
And finally, our listeners, they've been hearing us talking about your book. If somebody would like to get this book and use it as a tool to grow in friendship, where can they go?
Well, they can go to inspirethefaith.com. We have a full free study and all the resources to put this book together with as a faith study group. You can visit Ave Maria Press where it's published, or of course, support any Catholic bookstore in your area and request The Friendship Project.
Well, Emily, as always, it's great to chat with you here on this Monday morning about this very important topic of friendship. I really appreciate it.
Well, I enjoy being part of this family and know that you'll all be in my prayers as we desire to grow closer to Christ in our walk and journey.
Thanks so much. Emily Jaminet, the author of The Friendship Project. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called A Goodbye Kiss by Thomas Clary. The board meeting had come to an end. Bob started to stand up and jostled the table, spilling his coffee over his notes. Ah, embarrassing. I'm getting so clumsy in my old age. Everyone had a good laugh, and soon we were all telling stories of our most embarrassing moments. Came around to Frank, who sat quietly listening to the others. Someone said, "Come on, Frank, tell us your most embarrassing moments." Frank laughed and began to tell us of his childhood. "I grew up in San Pedro. My dad was a fisherman. He loved the sea. He had his own boats, but it was hard making a living on the sea. He worked hard and would stay out till he caught enough to feed the family. Not just enough for our family, but also for his mom and dad and the other kids who were still at home." He looked at us and said, "I wish you could have met my dad. He was a big man, strong for pulling the nets and fighting the seas for his catch. When you got close to him, he smelled like the ocean. He'd wear his old canvas, fall weather coat and bibbed overalls. His rain hat would be pulled down over his brow, no matter how much my mother washed them, they'd still smell of the sea and the fish." Frank's voice dropped a bit. "When the weather was bad, he'd drive me to school. He had this old truck that he used in his fishing business. The truck was older than he was. It would wheeze and rattle down the road. You could hear it coming for blocks. As he'd drive toward the school, I'd shrink down into the seat hoping to disappear. Half the time he'd slam to a stop and the old truck would belch a cloud of smoke. He'd pull right up in front, and it seemed like everybody'd be standing around watching. Then he'd lean over and give me a big kiss on the cheek and tell me to be a good boy. It was so embarrassing for me. Here I was, 12 years old, and my dad would lean over and kiss me goodbye. He paused and then went on. I remember the day I decided I was too old for a goodbye kiss. When we got to the school and came to a stop, he had his usual big smile. He started to lean toward me, but I put my hand up and I said, "No, Dad." It was the first time I'd ever talked to him that way, and he had the surprised look on his face. I said, "Dad, I'm too old for a goodbye kiss. I'm too old for any kind of kiss." My dad looked at me for the longest time, and his eyes started to tear up. I'd never seen him cry. He turned and looked out the windshield. "You're right," he said. "You are a big boy, a man. I won't kiss you anymore." Frank had a funny look on his face. Tears began to well up in his eyes as he spoke. It wasn't long after that when my dad went to sea and never came back. It was a day when most of the fleet stayed in, but not Dad. He had a big family to feed, and they found his boat adrift. With its nets half in and half out, he must have gotten into a gale and was trying to save the nets and the floats. I looked at Frank and saw tears were running down his cheeks. Frank spoke again, "Guys, you don't know what I'd give to have my dad give me just one more kiss on the cheek, to feel his rough old face, to smell the ocean on him, to feel his arm around my neck. I wish I'd been a man then. If I'd been a man, I never would have told my dad I was too old for a goodbye kiss." Exodus 20:12, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you."
Powerful story corner. Thanks so much, Glenn. I really do appreciate it. Coming up in the next hour here on Morning Air, Father John Gordon of the Archdiocese of Newark will discuss different ways of finding God and drawing closer to Him. Plus, award-winning author Marge Fenelon will be with us to talk about five back-to-school things that parents can do for themselves. That'll be a fascinating conversation. So stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.